What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-host, John Kegley. David Drogemeyer is on vacation this week, being rich and living it up in Mexico, I think, on a Carnival cruise line. So me and John are both writers for San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also cover the Chargers for Sports Al Dente and all LA sports-based website where you can find everything from the Clippers to the Chargers, and I have a couple good articles out there. I just did one on the five position battles that I'm excited to watch going forward. So that's something we will cover more on the Locked On Chargers podcast. But I basically laid out the five I was most excited about. But on today's show, John, at this point in the offseason, news isn't usually good news, right? I mean, you can hear hype about players and who looks good before the pads get on. But that's how we're starting today, is with some not good news. I'm sure most of you have heard by now that Russell Okung has a mysterious injury. So we're going to start the show off with that because we all know how serious that is. And then in the second segment, we're going to wrap up the PFF Top 50 now that it is concluded and talk about all the Chargers that made the list and all those who didn't make the list. So we have that in the second segment. And then to wrap the show up today, we're going to be talking about Isaac Rochelle taking on a good cause regarding social media and basically putting your phone down for one day a week. So he had a really emotional article that he wrote with Eric Williams, who covers the Chargers for ESPN. So we're going to go over that to end the show. But John, let's start with the big obvious news. Russell Okung has a mysterious injury. Eric Williams asked Anthony Lynn about it 2 days in a row, and on the second, Anthony Lynn said that he was unsure if Russell Okung would make it to training camp. So, John, we've actually literally had this conversation before about how scary this offensive line group would look if they did not have Okung. And now, as of right now, with the little that we know, it's a pretty scary time.
It is pretty scary, and I remember we were talking how we drafted Trey Pipkins in the third round. We were thinking, is this going to be our new right tackle? And it came out that he's supposed to be our backup left tackle. So it's already starting to wonder if we're going to have to start off with him in training camp. And then if Okung's injury is serious, are we going to be starting the season with Pipkins as the starting left tackle? Or is Okung's injury just being overplayed and he's going to be fine for the start of the season? There's just so many thoughts going through my head right now.
Well, and you think if it was something regarding like for example, a torn ACL or a torn Achilles or something of that nature, something catastrophic, you would have heard about it by now because, I mean, we saw last year with Hunter Henry getting injured early in the process. We knew exactly what happened there and some other guys as well. Jalen Watkins comes to mind as another guy before the season who tore his ACL. We heard about that. So the mystery of this really makes you just feel even worse about it because we don't know what it is. But I would think, John, don't you think, though, if it was a torn ACL or something, we would know about it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a torn ACL. But that doesn't mean it can't be something that will sideline him for, like, the first four games or something. I mean, Joey Bosa didn't have a torn ACL, but his little bone bruise in the foot ended up being something that kept him out for a while. So just because it's not a torn ACL or a broken leg or anything along those lines doesn't mean it's something that'll make him miss game time.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, I'm just saying, hey, season ending doesn't look like it's the timetable right now, but that's about it. I mean, I think that's all I'm saying is that's the only thing we can kind of take off the table. But at the same time, you just never know how these things can escalate. You know, one little thing, like a good example, Joey Bosa, where it's just, hey, we're not really worried about it when we first find out about it. And then he misses the first 10 weeks of the season. So it's just one of those things where the mystery doesn't help us at all. But now it's time to get into what this team looks like. You mentioned Trey Pipkins before, and that's, I mean, code red if he's your starting left tackle to start the season. But with Russell Okung being out, they actually had the starters out there, and it was Sam Tevy at left tackle and Trent Scott at right tackle. Trent Scott is a second-year undrafted free agent who played sparingly with the Chargers last season, but was, I mean, anything but special. I'm not going to really hold that against him. He didn't play much, but when he did play, it was in desperate situations, and that's what the offensive line was, John. Left tackle Sam Tevy, who, if you don't know, allowed the third most pressures out of any tackle in the NFL last year and didn't even start the whole season. Didn't start till a few games into the season. That is just, I don't even know what to say about that. An offensive line with Sam Tevi as the left tackle and Trent Scott as the right tackle.
And this is a Trent Scott that all three of us had not making the roster because he didn't play well at all in the preseason last year and somehow was kept. And now he's going to be the starter. Oh, Lordy Lord, someone please help me. I'm going to need holy water because I need to hold what I say on this podcast after hearing about Trent Scott being the starting right tackle. That is horrible. Sam Tevi's already bad enough. And now you need him to protect Phillip Rivers' blind side while Trent Scott is being your basically your run-blocking tackle? No. As much as we bag on Trey Pipkins, he'd be the better option than Trent Scott, but either way, you're still in trouble.
I mean, I don't know if Trey Pipkins would be the better option. You would think with what we've seen out of him that you'd have someone that's better on this roster to go in there than Trent Scott, but he saw time. When Russell Okung went down last season, we saw a switch from Sam Tevi going to left tackle and Trent Scott going to right tackle. So it's really scary, John. And really, this just makes me so frustrated because it's something we've been screaming about the entire offseason is, hey, you didn't address offensive tackle. And yes, you can say whatever you want about Sam Tevi. You can say, yes, he's going to improve in his second year and he'll be much better than he was in his first year. But even without replacing Sam Tevi, you had absolutely no depth behind them. If Trent Scott is your depth, I don't really count that. And you can't really act surprised about it, John, because even though Russell Okung has been very steady for the Chargers and he's played 15 games each of the last two seasons, the team he was drafted by, Seattle, he never played a complete season for them. From 2010 to 2015, he never played in all 16 games until he went to the Denver Broncos and had one 16-game season, the only one he's ever had. So how could the front office not at least count this as a variable and say, yeah, hey, we have to be ready in case Russell Okung got hurt? They did not sign anyone in the offseason to come in and give Sam Tevi a run for his money or to have good depth behind them. They didn't do it, John, and now it's looking really bad for Tom Telesco that he didn't take the need at offensive line more seriously.
And we were begging for on the podcast that we needed more offensive line depth, if not a new starter, and to make the guys like Sam Tevi the depth. Because, hey, he may not be good, but he's someone that's been around that knows the system. So if someone goes down, he's your worst case scenario. But now your worst case scenario is undrafted free agents or guys from last year in the preseason that were horrible. There's even guys on this roster that are guards that I think are better than some of the tackles we have. Like Coda Martin is probably a better offensive lineman on this team right now than some of our tackles are. So we're just in so much trouble from this, all this drafting of defensive linemen. We didn't even target the wide receiver need that we needed, let alone the offensive tackle. We didn't go after anything that we needed depth in. And now you have to hope that Trent Scott could be your guy, or even someone like Scott Quisenberry that you drafted last year can maybe step up to play guard this year, and you can maybe move Horace Lamp to tackle. There's just so many other situations you could probably play with.
Schofield played a little tackle too.
Yeah, that too. There's just so many situations you could play with. But you wouldn't be in this situation if you just gotten one or two guys as depth, whether it was drafting or whether it was some cheap free agent deal. Like even some free agent that was only like a $1 million deal that was better than what we had would have been a good attempt to show that we're making effort for depth.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up the draft because I think as much as I love the guys they got in the top two rounds, I really like Jerry Tillery coming out. I still would have rather had a guy like Cody Ford above him, and I said that on this podcast. And that's the other thing, John, is we're not playing Captain Hindsight. You know, we're not here saying this because Russell Okung got hurt, because this is something we've been saying all along. I mean, even, you know, when you guys scoffed at guys like Ryan Schrader or Jeremy Parnell and guys of that nature. It's like those guys on their down season still had better seasons than Sam Tevy. Yes, you could say they're on the decline, but we said bring someone in at right tackle, bring in a guy like Parnell, bring in a guy like Schrader, at least have a competition at right tackle. And what do you end up with? Whoever loses, you have some depth at that position. You feel a lot better with Sam Tevy playing backup right tackle than whoever else they have. If you have someone better than him to start, at least you have someone experienced behind them if something does go wrong. And now you find yourself flat-footed without your left tackle for maybe a training camp, and who knows how that escalates from there. And now you have to say, hey, Tom Telesco, maybe you should have taken a guy like Cody Ford. Maybe you should have taken a guy like Juwan Taylor in the draft and took a chance at finding a starting caliber tackle in the NFL, but you didn't. And it just really sucks because the offensive line scouting for this team has not worked. It's either the scouting or the development, because nobody that they've drafted has turned into a respectable offensive lineman for the most part. I mean, Dan Feeney, we're not even talking about him. This is an offensive line conversation, so let's bring up Dan Feeney. Gave up the most pressures out of any guard last season. Offensive line was a weak point in the offseason. Tom Telesco failed to address it, John. And now if we wanted them to pick Cody Ford with the 28th pick. And now you look back on it and you're just like, kind of like, ugh, why did this have to happen? Yes, I wanted to be right. And maybe we'll see what happens with him. But you don't want it happening this way.
You don't. And you want to talk about Dan Feeney. I mean, as I was mentioning before, you got to hope that maybe somebody else could play those positions. So, like, if you brought Scott Quisenberry, who is listed even on the Chargers roster as center slash guard, have someone like that pick up the Dan Feeney spot so that Forrest Lamp doesn't have to pick up that spot. And Forrest Lamp has played guard tackle before in his career. Make him the tackle. Like, there's situations like that that you have to gamble with just because you didn't target anything. Even if you had gambled, and let's say instead of drafting a tackle, you drafted a guard in the fifth round or the fourth round or something along those lines. Let's just say you did that to fix the Dan Feeney situation, you would not have to worry about guard at all. You would be okay with what you have at guard. You just have to figure out what to do with your tackles. If Russell Kuhn goes down like it just happened right now, do you put Forrest Lamp at his position? Do you move Sam Tevy over and put Forrest Lamp over there? Do you use one of these other tackles that you have to fill those positions? Like, they're already trying to experiment with Trent Scott. You got Trey Pipkins in the draft. There's so many options you could have had if you just drafted one offensive lineman, and now you have to experiment. As you said, you don't want to see it like this. You have to experiment with all these guys, and you have to hope it works, or else this whole season could go down the drain if Okun's injury is basically the Joey Bosa situation. If Okun is fine halfway through preseason, is ready for the start of the season, then yeah, maybe this is an overreaction. But whenever the Chargers have an injury that they don't talk about, you have to worry just because of their history of hiding injuries.
Absolutely. And I think that's the part that's the most frustrating, is just you had the chance to fix it. You don't know what's going to happen with those tackles, but at least two of those guys were expected to be first round picks that came available to you. We know Tom Telesco didn't have them or anyone else in the first round at that point as graded as first round picks. So I guess he's sticking by his process, but you always want to take the best player available. I thought it would have been Cody Ford at their pick. They did not. He ended up falling into the second round. But that's neither here nor there. This is the best case scenario for the Chargers. It isn't that serious with Russell Okung, but yet you still bring somebody in anyways. Even if Russell Okung's fine 2 weeks into training camp, still bring in somebody else. Like, it's not the end-all be-all. Just because he comes back doesn't mean everything's good. Tom Telesco needs to use this as a great warning sign to show him some of the mistakes he made this offseason and address it now, because you're not going to get another chance. Even if Russell Okun comes back, you don't know what's going to happen with him the rest of the season, and you can't feel great about him starting all 16 games if he's getting off to this start and having to maybe possibly be trying to work his way back from injury for the rest of the season, like we've seen other Chargers have to go down that path. So Tom Telesco, wake up, because this is your warning sign right here. You need to go find somebody else to bring into that room right now. Maybe you wait for guys to get released later on when their contracts become fully guaranteed if they're not cut. I don't know what to do right now, but you can't go into training camp with this group right now, minus Russell Okung.
That's probably our best bet, is the cuts during preseason and during camp that happened. that's probably going to be your best bet at getting someone that's at least decent. I'm not going to say great or someone that's perfect fit, but someone that's at least decent to be on the line is going to be the guys that get cut to make room for the final roster on all these other teams. But knowing the Chargers will probably pull something stupid, like make Sean Culkin that next tackle or something. You know, we'll just do that Chargers going to Charger type situation.
Jesus Christ. Well, anyways, we got a little carried away with Russell Okung, and for good reason, because that's how important this is. They know, they always say that you're only as strong as your weakest link, but if you're going into as weak of an offensive line with as weak of an offensive line unit as this one seems to be right now without Russell Okung, you're in big trouble this season, no matter how talented your defense is, no matter how talented your offensive weapons are. It doesn't matter. It starts up front in the trenches. The Patriots should have told you that when they beat you in the trenches up and down. You should have learned then. But hey, you might have a second chance at it. You better bring somebody in. But we do have two more segments to get into, talking about the Pro Football Focus Top 50 coming up right after this. But I do want to congratulate the Toronto Raptors for winning the NBA championship. Go Kawhi Leonard. It was a special run. But hey, that means for the rest of the fans out there in the NBA, we look forward to the draft. And Zion Williamson's probably going number one. That's exciting. But who is your team going to get? You can find out with the Locked On NBA mock draft, which is underway now. They have local experts for every draft room. They have Jeremy Wu of SI.com with the player breakdowns and Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball with the fantasy breakdowns. So get on over to Locked On NBA so you can get excited about next NBA season. All right, John, well, now it's time to get into something we've already talked about a little bit, but we didn't have the full table of evidence. Now we have the full list of the Pro Football Focus best 50 players going into 2019. And the last time we talked to you, there were four Chargers on the list, and we are down to the top 30 players in the NFL. And as I sit here now, we're still there at four, John. So the same four are the ones that made the list. Desmond King at 44. Then you have Derwin James at 38. And then Keenan Allen at 34. And then Casey Hayward was the last one at number 30. So, John, I know we talked about, hey, maybe we see Phillip Rivers. Maybe we see Joey Bosa. Are you surprised that neither of those guys jumped into the top 30 of Pro Football Focus list?
I'm surprised that Joey Bosa didn't make it. Phillip Rivers, I can understand, because most people don't ever consider him as an elite grade. Most of the guys on this list are absolutely elite grade type guys, the 90 or above grade. Rivers, I don't expect anybody to predict him to get it. Yeah, sometimes he might get that towards the end of the year, but to predict it, no one really does that. That's why everyone always says Phillip Rivers outdoes his critics. But Joey Bosa is always looked at as one of the top pass rushers in the league, and yet he's not even mentioned in here with the likes of Chris Jones or any of those guys. Could it be because of injuries? Maybe. But he's not on this list, and I am shocked by that. But Jalen Ramsey of the Jaguars, who didn't really have a good year last year, is on this list at 15.
Yeah, but Joey Bosa didn't have the best year. I mean, a shortened year, but I mean, Jalen Ramsey still, it was still one of the top corners in the NFL by Pro Football Focus's grading. And you know they've seen it before. And that's the thing, John, is they've seen Joey Bosa get those elite grades before. So that was the surprising thing to me. Some of the other edge defenders that made it over him are Calais Campbell. You have guys like Cameron Jordan with the Saints. And then you have, you know, guys like Khalil Mack. Guys like Von Miller, the normal suspects. I mean, all of those guys are good. DeMarcus Lawrence is good as well. He's on the list. Brandon Graham of the Eagles. All those players are good. I think Joey Bosa, when you're talking about outside of guys like, you know, Von Miller and Khalil Mack, I think right now with what he's been able to do and what he hasn't been able to do as far as staying on the field, you don't put him at the same level with those guys and Mack and Miller. But at the same time, John, I think when he's healthy, which he's going into this season as, and that's what we're basing off of going into this season, there's nothing stopping him from being at least a top five pass rusher and edge defender with what he's able to do against the run as well in the league right now. And there's more than five guys on this list. So I definitely think if we're talking about guys that'll show up next year, Joey Bosa has to be on the top of the list, because if Joey Bosa stays healthy, I think it's going to be a really special year for him.
Well, this list also has Trey Flowers all the way down at 46, and I think we can all agree that even though Trey Flowers had a pretty good year with the Patriots, Joey Bosa is better than Trey Flowers. So if not this year for Joey Bosa, it has to be next year that Pro Football Focus gives him the credit and the respect he deserves to be in this list. This has to be Joey Bosa's make or break a year. He's coming into it healthy. It's finally his time to show that that holdout words in the contract and the money in the contract that he was holding out for are now what he deserves, and that he's going to deserve that big contract that we're all worried about he's going to be signing. Melvin Gordon's already in that situation, and now Joey Bosa will be in that situation. Does he deserve that big top pass rusher contract? Well, if he stays healthy and has the year we expect him to, he will deserve it, and he better be on the top 50 of Pro Football Focus and any other NFL top 50 or top 10 pass rusher list as well. But Wade, here's my question for you. Even though we didn't see Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram stepped up big time in Joey Bosa's absence. Do you think he should have been on this list?
No, I don't, just because, I mean, this is basing it off of getting elite grades, and Melvin Ingram hasn't had a lot of seasons where he's put up elite numbers as far as Pro Football Focus grading, which obviously this list is based on because it's Pro Football Focus. I think Melvin Ingram did a lot of the dirty work for the Chargers last year. I think he played more than he should have. I think that really took down his pass rush efficiency because he was rushing the passer so often. His one-on-one win rates weren't as good as they normally are because he didn't have a healthy Joey Bosa with him for most of the season. He made a lot of plays when the Chargers needed him to. He didn't have his best season as a Charger, in my opinion, but that's just because I think he was so overextended and overused last year because of the lack of Joey Bosa. I think having another year under Isaac Rochelle's belt helps that. I think having other players that can give him time and help him out on the edge will definitely help him this year. So maybe next year I could see him having a big year with Joey Bosa on the opposite side. I think one of those guys is going for at least, I would say, 13 plus sacks this season. I'm leaning towards Joey Bosa, but I think Melvin Ingram has shown before that he could put up double digit sacks in this league, so it wouldn't surprise me either way. But let's talk about Phillip Rivers, because he doesn't show up on this list, but here are the other quarterbacks that do show up. So I'm going to ask you if you have a problem with any of them. And it starts with Russell Wilson. Then you have Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Andrew Luck. So with those being the guys on there, do you have a problem with Phillip Rivers not getting on this list?
Well, as I mentioned before, Phillip Rivers is never predicted to become an elite grade. He always just ends up getting that grade. So going off of that, I'm not disappointed, but with guys like Andrew Luck, he's definitely deserving of being on this list, but I don't think Andrew Luck deserves to be ahead of Phillip Rivers with all the stuff that Phillip Rivers has accomplished the past couple of years compared to Andrew Luck. Phillip Rivers has done way more with more injuries than Andrew Luck, with a worse offensive line than Andrew Luck. With sometimes he's had less weapons because he's had guys like Keenan Allen go down, and yet he has still found a way to make plays happen, even though he has had the best coaching compared to Andrew Luck. But that's about the only guy I would say I would make an argument for. Everyone else on here, I think, deserves to be ahead of Phillip Rivers on this list. But like I said, no one ever gives Phillip Rivers the respect of starting the season as predicting him to be an elite grade or the top five passer or something along those lines. He always ends up earning that, and everyone's still it has them flying under the radar because they're too busy talking about Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes last year. They always do something along those lines to keep him under the radar, even though he has like a top five stat line.
Yeah, and he's always put up the numbers. Then Pro Football Focus has him as an 88.9, which is pretty close to elite last season, and that was the seventh quarterback. And you know, so you could make an argument for all the guys ahead of him on this list. Andrew Luck, I mean, had a great season last year, but if you're basing it off the last few seasons, I don't know how you could necessarily put Andrew Luck with his injury situation there. But hey, Andrew Luck's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I don't think any of us are arguing that. So Phillip Rivers, keep flying under the radar. If you can put up another season like you did last season and maybe a better end to the season. I think that's just fine for the Chargers, but hey, you have to protect him as well. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about Isaac Rochelle taking up a good cause and spreading the awareness of how addicted we are to our phones. So we're going to get into that right after this. But first, I want to tell you guys that the best way to listen to the Locked On Chargers is by listening to it in your car on your way to work. You can tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Chargers. A lot of you have that hooked up to your car already or anywhere in your house. You can be in the bathroom and say, hey, play podcast Locked On Chargers, and it'll play the latest episode. It's pretty cool. All right, guys, now it's time to get into the last segment of the show today, and that's talking about Isaac Rochelle, who found himself in somewhat of a social media funk, according to what he posted on ESPN with their beat reporter, Eric Williams, a guy that we've had on the show before, a guy that we really like, and he helped Isaac Rochelle come up with an article to tell people about how being addicted to your phone can be a bad thing, especially when it comes to social media. And he wants to take a stance, John, and his stance is basically, see you on Sunday. That's the hashtag, see you on Sunday. He wants to raise awareness for everything online with social media and how it can affect everyone, really. And I think this is something that everyone relates to. We all look at our phones too much. I'll be the first to admit, I mean, I'm on the Messenger with John and David all the time. I'm scrolling social media and Twitter all the time. It's just something that really has taken over the whole country. And Isaac Rochelle basically says in this article that he went into kind of a funk with social media and wanted to delete it because of all the negative comments, and really because he wasn't caring about what was on social media. All he really cared about is how people perceived him on social media, which I think is really the interesting point here, John, because I think you see that too much. I mean, hell, my girlfriend's ordered something off a food menu to post it on Instagram, or, you know, things of that nature. I think it's something we all do, and you can see anyone's story on Instagram or in Snapchat about them going and doing something fun, and everyone just wants to make it seem like they live this glamorous life, and sometimes they lose touch with the things that are right in front of them. So when I see something like this, John, I think that's a pretty good cause, because I think we could all take a lesson from, you know, putting our phone down for a day.
I would have to agree that people are so desperate for attention nowadays that they'll post anything and everything on social media so everyone could go, hey, look at this person. You know, they bought Panda Express and they took a photo of it. Like, there's just so much, so many things people are posting just to get attention rather than doing something like what I do. I usually try to update people on sports scores because some people have to go to work and don't get to see the scores. So I try to update everybody on it. But there's other people, like today, like it was Father's Day yesterday, and people were posting constant photos of themselves with their dad going, yeah, happy Father's Day to my dad. And I'm like, okay, cool. You showed a photo of you with your dad to everybody to show that you're hanging out with your dad, or you have a photo with your dad. But did you take the time today to actually call him and talk to him? Or if you live in the same city, go talk to him if they're still alive. If your dad's not alive right now, then I can understand posting the photo. You know, that's more of a, you know, I kind of miss you type thing. But if your dad is still alive, did you take the time to call him and go see him? Or were you just posting photos for attention? That's stuff like that is what Isaac Rochelle's probably talking about, because you're more focused on what everybody thinks of you than actually taking the time to look right in front of you and go, hey, it's Father's Day. My dad's right here. Let's actually hang out with him, then worry about what everybody else thinks about me. There's a long list of stuff like that goes on. And I'll admit, I've been guilty of posting stuff. Like every time I go to a Charger game, I'm mostly always posting like, hey, look, this is my view of the game. What do you guys think? You know, I agree with this, but I would also say, I don't think Saturday is the day to put your phone down. That's also college football Saturday, and people are going to be all over their phone for that.
Yeah, and the Instagram for his cause is @c.u.on.sunday. All the words spelled out, and he's on there, and he can explain his cause a little bit better than we can. But another point that he's making is just when you do things on social media, they have consequences. I mean, you don't know, you know, who you're offending, who you're talking trash to, who you're degrading or just saying cruel things to. And I mean, that has effects on people, on kids, on everyone. I mean, there's so many kids now on social media. Yeah, even your job. I mean, you could post something about your job thinking it's going to get you attention and have it get fired because you weren't supposed to do that. Like, there's just so many things. I mean, I'm not looking for the pity party on this one by any means. And I mean, we're tough skin, so we handle it. But like, obviously, just from us being on social media, that's part of our job. That's part of being in sports. You have to be active on social media. You have to be up with the latest and current news. And we have people say mean stuff to us all the time. I mean, we've had people say extremely cruel things just to troll us and just because they don't have anything better to do. And there's too many people that are behind keyboards and feel the need to say things that they would never say to someone in person and just to try to hurt people. And that's the thing that bothers me, especially, you know, my family, my friends, when people say just absolutely disgusting things to them on Twitter, on Facebook, it really infuriates me. And it's just those people know that there's no real consequences always, and they can kind of say whatever they want behind a keyboard. And I think that all just comes from us being too addicted to social media, too addicted to people liking our comments when we say these mean things, too addicted to the reactions that we get by getting people's attention, by bringing other people down. I think it's a really carnivorous kind of culture that we are on. And social media is not my favorite part of this job. I'll be upfront with that. It is a necessary evil.
Amen.
And I'm glad that Isaac Rochelle, instead of deleting his Instagram, deleting his Twitter, has just decided, you know what, maybe I'm not going to do what I did before and make it all about me, but I can still use this platform to speak on the right things and speak about my true life and speak about my flaws and the things I'm going to, instead of just trying to portray a perfect life that I'm living. And that's what he's doing now, John. And to me, I mean, that's what these kind of platforms should be. You've seen many NBA athletes come out with, you know, depression and anxiety and opening up. And it doesn't have to be a tough guy sport all the time. You can connect with people and be real with people and show them that, hey, you might be getting bullied online. I get bullied online too. People trash athletes on social media. So it's very relatable because we're all on our phones. We've all had somebody say cruel things to us on some sort of social media, and we don't usually engage in it. You know, sometimes we put people in their place, but I really respect Isaac Rochelle for turning his platform into really a more positive movement instead of making it all about himself.
I would have to disagree. If I see someone being disrespectful or talking bad about me or anybody I know, I'm that troll, and I have put my address out there before for someone to come find me at my house. I'm glad my mom doesn't listen to these shows because she would kill me if she knew I did that. But that's a different story for a different day. But yeah, I'm that guy that will trash talk back on social media. Is it a healthy thing to do? No, but after someone that's been bullied their whole life, especially 13 of the first 16 years of their life, I've gotten to that moment where I don't care if it's social media or real life, I'm going to talk back to you. And which is why social media, I agree with you, Wade, is not my favorite part of doing the podcast or the sports blogging or anything like that, but it is something you have to do this kind of stuff. I've had people talk bad about my articles or about my videos or even about the podcast. And usually I just brush that stuff off. It's usually the trolls that I go after because I know how to make people cry if they want to be that necessary evil. And you've seen it before. I know you have, Wade. It's not a healthy thing to do. It's a lot of stress on your body. It's anger. It's unnecessary anger. It's stuff like that. It'll give you a heart attack because it's stress on your heart. It's stress on your body and your mind. Stuff like that can make you get a stroke. There's so many things that can happen to your body that you don't realize because you're more focused on the moment or that stupid little Facebook post. And I like that Isaac Rochelle is trying to say to put down the phone so you can start realizing what's in front of you, the real life that's in front of you, being able to walk up to somebody, shake their hand and say, hey, how's it going? You want to go grab a beer and go watch the game instead of, oh, hey, how's it going, guys? And you're like typing it on your phone going, hey, how's it going? Who's watching the game? I'm at Cali Comfort watching the game. Where's everybody else at? You know, you're actually talking to that guy next to you at Cali Comfort going, hey, man, this is a good game, huh? You want me to buy you a beer? It's creating more relationships and getting in touch with the real world instead of the social world on social media.
Well, and the other part of it is, hey, social media doesn't have to be a bad thing. That's not why it was created. It's created so you can keep in touch with your family and your friends who might live far away, and for fan bases to connect, a little bit like you're talking to about, John. But it's all about balance. And whether it's Saturday or not, the thought of, you know, going 6 days with a phone and one day without a phone, I mean, that doesn't sound that crazy, but I think most of us would struggle with it greatly. I actually went without a phone for 3 months a few years ago. My phone broke. I was over it. Just left my phone behind, and it was a really freeing experience. I didn't find myself always on social media doing those things. Yes, I missed out on things, and it's not something I can necessarily do in this line of work, but there's a lot of freeing parts to not having your phone. Find a hobby, find something else to do with your day off from your phone, and I think you'll find it very beneficial. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. That is a great cause, and we want you all to check out Isaac Rochelle on Twitter to see you on Sunday on Instagram or Twitter with that hashtag to check out his movement. I think it's a pretty cool thing, but we'll be back with you guys later on in the week. Until then, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts from, whether it's Spotify, the Himalaya podcasting app, Google Podcasts, wherever you get it from. We are on there, and you will get the show before everybody else does. So that's the best way to do it. And if you want to get your call on the show, we will do it for you guys if you call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. We're in the no contact period for the Chargers, so there's no training camps or practices or anything right now. A great opportunity for you guys to get your voice on the show, whether it's about Russell Okung or Pro Football Focus Top 50 or whatever. You can get on, and we'll always play every voicemail on the show at 323-524-7924. But we will talk to you guys later on in the week. Take it easy and go Bolts.